This is God's man. Do you hear me?
Appreciate being in the house of God this morning. Appreciate the good preaching already. About getting saved. I'm glad I'm saved. Appreciate the Lord loving me. Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21. I'm going to start reading verse number 4. Early this morning, the Lord kind of dealt with me about this scripture, and then again on the way over here, kind of touched me about it. I thought maybe this morning, usually Brother Larry just preaches, and I thought, well, I won't have to worry about that today. But Lord knows. Numbers chapter 21, verse number 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. The people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. For we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he will take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched an oboth. They journeyed from Oboth and pitched at Jerobeam and in the wilderness, which is before Moab, towards the sun rising. And thence they removed and pitched in the valley of Zered. And from thence they removed and pitched on the other side of Aaron, and which is in the wilderness, and that cometh out of the coast of the Amorites. For Aaron is the border of Moab, between Moab and the Amorites. Wherefore it is said in the book of the wars of the Lord, what he did in the Red Sea and in the brooks of Arnon, and at the streams of the brooks that goeth down to the dwelling of Ar, and lieth upon the border of Moab. And from thence they went to Beer, that is the well whereof the Lord spake unto Moses, gather the people together, and I will give them water. Then Israel sang this song, spring up, O well, sing ye unto it. The princes digged the well, the nobles of the people digged it, by the direction of the lawgiver with their staffs. And from the wilderness they went unto Matanai. You may be seated. Lord, we thank you for this day, God, the privilege to be here. I appreciate this meeting and this church. I pray that your will is done this week, God, and that you will have glory and honor out of the services. Help us, God. Please touch us this morning that we might be faithful to you and obey you and give anointing to your servant, I pray. Forgive us of our shortcomings and our sins. Lord, help these people, God, this morning through our preaching. God, will give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I want to preach just a little bit out of this portion of Scripture for a little while. At first verse I read to you says, and the people was much discouraged because of the way. And then you go on over, and right where I got done, they're singing, spring up, O well. And so apparently there's a change in their attitude. It started out discouraged, but by the time you get to the end of the chapter, seemingly they have joy in their heart, and they're singing for the Lord to do something. And I thought about this and this morning and early. When I got up and began to read, and God was touching my heart about this, and even as I traveled over here, about being discouraged in the way. It's easy to get discouraged in the way. There's some things here that has taken place in former chapters, and even in the beginning of this chapter, that has brought discouragement to these people. Now I want to say it's not a sin to get discouraged, But you have to be careful about what you do when you get discouraged. That's the problem. That's where the issue's at. You get discouraged. We all at times get discouraged in our traveling for the Lord and doing His will. Things come, things happen that disappoint us or we don't understand and they discourage us. But it's how we respond to that discouragement as to whether or not we receive the blessings of God. This group got discouraged, I believe, because just the length of the journey. It had been so long. They'd come out of Egypt and they'd day after day after day wandering through this wilderness, this barren land, no water, and they got discouraged about just the length of the journey. Just the everyday a battle of living and doing. If you're not careful, we'll discourage you. But we oughtn't to be discouraged. And then there was the difficulty of the journey. In this first part of this chapter, they'd had war. The enemy had come and captured some, and they'd had to fight to win them back. And there was war. And not only war, but just before this chapter, Aaron had died and had gone on. And so they were just, they'd lost someone they'd loved. There's so many things that discourage us. Of the difficult, the dust and the dryness, sometimes the barrenness. I don't know how it is with you. You might shout it every Sunday, but sometimes we just go to church and go through the motion, do what we know is right, go home, and if you ain't careful, it'll discourage you because you're going through it. But if you're in the will of God, press on and march for the Lord, and God will help you sooner or later if you stay with God. Amen. They got discouraged about the difficulties. There's war. This is a battlefield. We're not playing games. The enemy's very real. And he's doing everything he can in these last days. I've never seen such a wicked hour we live in. But God is still bigger than the devil and all the enemies of the world. And we can still have church in this day. There's difficulties, troubles, heartaches. Souls that we love go out and outstrip us and move on, and we think we're losing, and how are we going to go on? But we need to stay with it.
Amen. Amen.
Then there's the trouble in the camp. Trouble in the camp. And but you go back to chapter 16 and Kor. And listen, if Kor had just been one of them outliers, he'd only come to church every once in a while, it wouldn't have been so bad. But he gathered 250 of the renowned, famous men, princes in Israel, and stirred up a stink. And it was a discouragement to the crowd of the trouble that was in the camp.
Amen.
I mean, I'm brokenhearted over the fact when people leave the house of God. I don't like to see anybody leave.
Amen.
Some of them are meaner than rattlesnakes, but I'd rather see them get right with God than go out to the world.
Amen.
But it hurts when it's those that have sung with you and testified, and they all of a sudden get a wild hair and get up and do something that brings havoc down the house
Amen.
Of God.
Amen.
It's discouraging you. I'd say, what's the use? I thought they'd never give in. I thought they'd never quit. And here they are opposing what's right and stand against the man of God. And it's brought trouble in our church.
Amen.
It's easy to get discouraged.
Yes, sir.
But it's what we do after we get discouraged.
Yes.
See, the danger here was that a spirit got in these people in verse 5 and they begin to murmur and complain about their situation and about God's treatment of them and about the man of God. And when you do that, you're on dangerous ground.
Amen.
When you begin to murmur, complain, and accuse God of being unfair, you're on dangerous ground.
Amen.
They were got in a bad shape. Not only did they have the spirit of murmuring and complaining, but they got in the spirit of self-pity. They begin to say, wherefore has the Lord brought us out? We're His people. Why would God treat us? What has happened that God would let us go through this? It's a spirit of self-pity.
That's right.
It's a dangerous spirit to get in when you Elijah got a hold of Elijah. He done great things, got on the top of Mount Carmel, prayed down the fire, but then he got discouraged and hid in the cave and said, "I'm the only one, God.
Right. Right.
Everybody else has quit."
Praise the Lord.
He lost his office. God said, "You go anoint another man to take your place." It's dangerous when we get a self-pity in our life. And it happens to churches even.
Yes, sir.
They get to thinking we're the only ones serving God. We're it. Nobody else. And they get this attitude that everybody's wrong but them. There's a whole lot more serving God than we realize sometimes.
Yes, sir.
I realize we're the minority. I'm not saying that we're a big crowd. But they're scattered all over the place. They got in the spirit of loathing. I thought, how sad. They said, "There's no bread, no water. All we got is this old light bread. This that tastes like honey. This that God gives every morning doesn't satisfy us." Isn't it amazing? See, it's a process, I believe. You get to murmur and complain, and then for long you're saying, "Oh, woe is me. Nobody's where I'm at. Nobody's suffering what I've suffered. Nobody's going what I've..." And then next thing you know, you don't like preaching. You don't like to testify. Whatever song the song leader picks out isn't good enough. It kind of gets lonesome to you. You don't even want to go to church on Sunday morning. You've gotten such a bad shape. At the very things that God is doing for you and blessed you with, I become lonesome to you. I've been there. I remember how we went through church trouble. The church, and me and my wife, I can remember her laying in bed crying and saying, "I don't even want to go to the house of God."
Yes, sir.
You can get that way. You can get to where the very things that you need that will help you is the very things you want to stay away from.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah.
And you need help, and only God can give it to you. The response God had to these people was the fiery serpents. That seems kind of harsh, but he did not send the fiery serpents because they were discouraged. He sent them because of their attitude once they became discouraged. If they had become discouraged and went to God and said, "God, we're heavy hearted, we're hurting, we need help," then God would give help. But their attitude was, "Why is God doing this to us? God's unfair. God won't do us right. I don't like the preacher. I don't like the singing. I'm tired of going to church. I don't even like shouting anymore." And they got in a bad way, and God had to give their attention. God has a way of doing it. Fiery serpents. It didn't take them long to realize that they were in the wrong. And to their credit, they did respond right. They went back to the man of God and said, "We have sinned." That's a good start to getting back. It's getting honest with God and just confessing that you're in the wrong, that your attitude's wrong, your complaining's wrong, and you want to get back with the Lord. Isn't that right? And it's so, I want to tell you what, it is so easy to murmur and complain. I want to tell you what, I have to watch myself because I can have a good service on Sunday, a little down on Wednesday, and I get sick. I just can't believe it. As the way God helped us Sunday, what in the world's wrong? Start murmuring and complaining.
Great.
And if you hang on to that, then it leads to that loathsome spirit. And it leads to that, "Oh, woe is me. I'm the only preacher going through this. Or I'm the only church going through this. Or I'm the only daddy that has to correct his kids. Or I'm the only mama that has to be on my daughter all the time and make her dress right. Nobody else is doing it. Hey, there's a whole world of people still trying to live for God."
Amen.
This camp meeting's evidence of that. If there wasn't people who wanted something, we couldn't have a meeting. But thank God there's people on and are hungry and come to church.
Amen.
Plan their vacations, take off from work, do what's necessary to come to the house of God.
Amen.
So they discouraged. But they got right. They confessed it. Moses prayed for them. And the Lord spoke to him and said, make a brazen serpent and set it on the pole. You know what that is. I mean, John chapter 3, it's the Lord. I mean, the Lord said, as Moses lift up the serpent, so must I. So it's a picture of the Lord. We preach it a lot of times. We're preaching to sinners to get saved. Look and live. We preach that. That's a matter. But here, he's telling them, and it's a picture of the Lord. And so he's saying, if you want to get out of discouragement, look to Jesus.
Amen.
Get your eyes on God. Get your eyes off the trouble. Get your eyes off the circumstances. And get them back on what's important. Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. And serve Him.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
Isn't it amazing? Peter out in the middle of the sea in the midst of a terrible storm, boisterous winds and waves rocking. And the Lord comes. He sees it. The Lord says, bid me to come. And as long as he's got his eyes on the Lord, the winds are not a problem. The waves are not a problem. It's not until he gets his eyes off of the Lord and gets him on the situation that he starts to sink.
Amen.
And honestly, Even as a pastor,
yes, sir.
I have to be careful. Yep. I want to warn my people of the day we're living in, but I don't want to be so worked up about what's going on out there that I bring them down into defeat.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
I want to keep saying, it's bad out there, and we better pray, and we better keep our kids close to us, and we better go to church, but always keep in mind, God's on the throne, and He'll help us, and when it gets so bad, it can't last any longer, God will get us out of here.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I want to tell you to take a step farther, though. Don't just keep your eyes on the Lord, but do like that woman had the issue of blood. She spent all she had. I think she's discouraged. She didn't get no better. She just got worse. But she heard about Jesus. She didn't want to just see Him. She wanted to touch Him. I want to tell you, stay in constant contact with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Keep touching Him. Keep having, I don't know about you all, but I have to have fellowship. I like fellowship with you all, and that's good. I like that fellowship with the Lord. So, and listen, this morning, he knew I was going to have to preach. I didn't. I done told Caleb last night. He's all worried about whether the Lord, he might have to preach something. I said, Brother Larry, preach, don't worry about it. He only gets Brother Larry to preach on Monday mornings. It'll be all right. You don't have to fret about it. I got this morning, the Lord touched me about this scripture, and then on the way over here, I done tried to dismiss it again. I said, well, maybe that's for this week. On the way over here, the Lord got, sat down beside me in the car and said, you better get ready. He knows. You better stay in touching the Lord. You want to stay tender, you keep in fellowship with God. You touch Him. There's nothing like His kisses. Listen, I love my wife. I chased her to get her. I did. I had to convince her to marry me. And I'm not sorry about it. I love her. And our relationship's good, but it does not compare to the hand of the Savior when He puts His arms around me. There are times I don't even have the words to tell my wife how I feel. And I go to my prayer place and I just say, oh, and He says, I know exactly what you need. Just something about touching the Lord. That'll help you. You got to stay in close contact with Him. Everybody here, every church, I tell you, stay as close to God in these days we live in. You better stay as close to God as you can. Touch Him. And then one other thing. They got over and got to digging. You know what said they done? They followed the direction of the lawgiver. You better stay with preaching.
Amen. Amen.
How you going to know what to do without preaching? It not only does it take preaching to get saved, but it takes preaching for you to live right.
Amen.
You, in this day we live in, you better have preaching.
Amen.
You need to be preached to.
Right.
Yeah.
If you're discouraged, you can sing again. This crowd is discouraged. They just mumbling, complaining. God got their attention. They got right. By the time you get to the end of the chapter, they're singing, "Spring up, oh well, spring up." There's joy in their heart. They've got hope. I don't know what happened. I was reading that just then. It says that it was wrote down about the wars at the Red Sea, and then it talks about what he'd done at the Brook of Arnon. I'm not sure what all he'd done right in there, but they recorded it. Something good. God's still able to do things in this day. We'll live for Him and stay in touch with Him. Go ahead, preacher.
Amen. Everybody stand.